Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, as a little girl, she was too young to understand death, and that might be why she never questioned why Grammy Betty came to visit one last time.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
We thank you so much for listening, and you know how this works. You share a ghost story, we share it with everybody else. So if you want to leave us a voicemail, call 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com, and you can always become a premium subscriber. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get the advanced episodes, access to the archive, and no commercials. I'm Carol Hughes, and Kathy Gordon is here today. And I think I sure am. We need to start with this, because last time you and I recorded an episode together, you did not have a grandbaby yet.
And now I have two grandchildren.
I know. And he is,
I will tell you guys, adorable.
He is adorable. He's really perfect.
Well, and he is one of those babies, like, you look at him and you go, oh, you're an old soul. You know, like, you go, you're a deep dish. You see me. I can tell. You know me. You chose us. You know, it's that feeling like you came to us. You picked us. So he's quite adorable and pretty over the moon with him. And he's a chill, relaxed baby. He does this cry that's so, like, soft that when we were in the hospital, he started crying. And I thought it was a baby in another room down the hall. And then I realized it was him. I'm like, that's his cry?
It's like, I'm going to have to get used to this.
Yeah, like, I'll never hear him crying. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, but he's adorable and everybody's doing well. So that's good.
Congratulations. So he's a healthy little boy. And
yes,
everything went well. And it's just, and the pictures of him are so cute. He's like this little angel.
He is really sweet. He just is a sweet little guy. So it's been a lot of fun. And his big sister, she, you know, really doesn't care too much. She kind of walks past him, but, you know, she's 18 months old. So it's not like she kind of walks past him. And, you know, every now and then she'll reach over and touch him or something. But she's just in her own little world doing her own little things.
And she hasn't even realized that.
She's not really particularly.
He's a human.
Yeah.
Not sure what this is they brought in, but okay.
It's not bothering her. So life goes on.
Yeah. You know. I still get to do my same old stuff.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to everybody.
Well, thank you.
Well, let's go to our first ghost story of the day.
My name is Maggie, and I live in Madison, Wisconsin. I actually just moved here. And so this is actually the first supernatural encounter that I ever had. When I was about 4 or 5 years old, I had these two young girls who would babysit me all the time because my parents worked a lot. And when they couldn't babysit me, their grandmother would come and stay with me. I got to know her very, very well, and she and I were super close, and she would bring me, you know, cheese danishes all the time and all sorts of cute little pastries, and we would spend so much time together. And she was just this incredible, incredible woman. She was a World War II nurse, and she just had this amazing, amazing life. And so anyways, because I was so close to her, I called her Grammy Betty, and we were basically inseparable. I loved this woman to pieces. And I remember my mom telling me one day that Grammy Betty wouldn't be coming by anymore. And I didn't really understand why, but I was like 4 or 5, so I just kind of said, oh, okay, and moved on. And then one night, I was in my bed, and I was reading a book or something like that before bed. I was probably flipping through it. I don't know how literate I was at that age, but I had a book, I remember that. And I looked up, and Grammy Betty was standing at the foot of my bed, and she was smiling at me. And she grinned, and she walked away towards the far wall, and then she kind of just turned back one last time, smiled, and then walked out the window. And I remember exactly what she looked like to this day, which is kind of crazy, but I remember she was wearing a white hospital gown with pink polka dots for some reason, And my mom came up to say goodnight and tuck me in one last time. And I said, oh, I just saw Granny Betty. And my mom said, what do you mean you saw Granny Betty? And so that's when she explained to me that Granny Betty had passed away the week before in a hospital. I don't remember exactly what she died from, but I saw the next week the two girls who babysat me. They came over to the house, and they brought some pictures with them of Granny Betty towards the end of her life. And it turns out that in the picture, sure enough, she was wearing a white hospital gown with pink polka dots. Yeah, so that's why I, to this day, still think that she is my guardian angel. And yeah, since then, I've had many more interesting supernatural experiences, but this one is very near and dear to my heart, and so I figured that I would share it. Thank you so much for having such a great show, and I'll talk to you maybe in the future. Okay, bye.
I love the thought of Grammy Betty being her guardian angel.
I do too.
I love that idea.
I think that is awesome. I think that is awesome. And the fact that she came back to see her, because she said she was like looking at a book and then just looked up and she was standing there. And I think smiled, you know.
And then walked through a window.
Yeah. And Maggie was young enough that it didn't throw her. Like, she was like, oh, hi. You know, I like you. I love you. You're awesome. She, you know, yay, Grammy Betty's here. That's awesome. And then oddly watched her walk out the window, but yet still young enough to think, okay, weird, but, you know, okay. You know, I have a feeling that Grammy Betty probably visited the other girls and visited different, you know, kind of one last time. But Maggie is intuitive enough to see that it happened and could see her. So I, you know, she probably was kind of saying her goodbyes at that time. But I love the fact that she came back to Maggie to see Maggie.
And she was so young, like she didn't even comprehend any of it. Like, oh, she's not. I get why they would explain it to her like that. She's not going to be coming here anymore, because death is a really difficult conversation to have with a little kid.
Yeah.
And so I get why they explained it the way they did. But then she's like, no, but I saw her.
Yeah.
You know, it's super matter of fact.
Well,
I just, the idea of her being a guardian spirit to her, I think is really sweet.
I do too. And I do hope she calls back with more stories and lets us know.
Yes,
because she said she has more.
Yes, we would love that. Well, let's move on to our next story. It says, I work in a government records facility that's built underground. I can't really say where it is or exactly what we keep there, but if you've ever imagined endless rows of shelves inside a cave, that's pretty close. That reminds me of those caves in Kansas City.
Okay, I am totally creeped out already.
Because remember when our dad had a job? I went with him once, and he hauled magazines. This was at the very end of his life. Mm-hmm. And he would drive. I went with him once into those caves. And so it looks like you're going into this very, very, very large hill. And we get, I don't know, not very far into it. Radio goes out. There's no reception or anything. And it's like this whole city is built inside these hills, in these caves. It's an entire city. So that's what that reminds me of. Some of the records rooms are so big that if you're working by yourself, it can be a while before you see another person. I wonder what you do in a government records facility. Like,
oh my God.
What are you working on? What are the, by yourself and you don't see another person? This is mysterious.
You know what? Sounds like the X-Files to me.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
This is so mysterious. Let's see. I've worked there for several years now, and every place has its own rumors. Ours are usually about hearing footsteps when no one is around or seeing someone at the end of an aisle who isn't there a minute later. I always figured that came with working in a place where people spend so much time by themselves. A couple of years ago, I was finishing up a project late in the afternoon. There weren't many people left in my section. I happened to notice an older man walking down one of the aisles. I didn't think anything about it because he looked like he belonged there. Gray hair, work clothes, an ID badge on his shirt, clipboard under one arm. I assumed he worked for another department. I saw him again a few minutes later in a different section of the records room, and I remember wondering how he'd gotten over there so quickly because I hadn't been standing in one place very long. Not long after that, I needed to ask somebody a question, and he was the only person I'd seen in several minutes, and I started walking toward him. He turned the corner at the end of the aisle, and by the time I got there, he was gone. I looked around for a minute because it honestly didn't make any sense. The aisles are long, and there wasn't another person anywhere that I could see. After that, I went back to work, didn't give it much thought. A few weeks later, I noticed the same man again. I recognized him because he looked exactly the way I remembered. Gray hair, same clipboard tucked under his arm. I watched him cross the end of an aisle while I was putting files away, and when I finished what I was doing, I looked back. He wasn't there anymore. Over the next few months, I saw him several more times. I was never close enough to say hello. I never got a good look at his face. I just noticed him walking through one of the records rooms, and then a few seconds later, he'd be gone. One afternoon, I brought it up at lunch because I honestly thought somebody would know who he was. I described him, and one of the women I worked for asked if he carried a clipboard. I said yes. She said she had heard people mention him before. Somebody changed the subject after that. The conversation moved on. Later that day, I ran into her again and I asked her what she meant. And she told me she had worked there for a long time and ever so often, somebody would ask about an older employee they had seen walking around the records rooms. She said she'd never actually seen him herself, but she had heard enough descriptions over the years that she knew exactly who I was talking about. She never acted like it was a big deal. Neither did I. I just thought it was interesting that I wasn't the first person to ask. I've never heard one story that everybody agrees on. If people know anything about the building's history, they keep it to themselves. I stopped asking after that because I realized I was probably never going to get a real answer anyway. I still work there, although my schedule is different now, and I don't spend as much time in those records rooms as I used to. Every now and then, I get assigned over there for part of the day, and it's funny how the first thing I do is look down the aisles, and without even thinking about it, I'm looking for him. I haven't seen him in a long time. Thanks for letting me share my story, Cassandra. You know, it's kind of interesting because it wasn't like her coworker came out and said, I think it's a ghost. She just said, yeah, other people have seen him.
Well, and here's
the
thing.
But I think it's implied.
Doesn't anyone know whether an older man that looks like that works there for real or not? Like, you know, like, at no point did anybody say to Cassandra, there is nobody that fits that description that actually works here. Now, with that said, other people have seen him, and we're not denying that, but we do not have anybody. Like, is there some way that you could go, for the love of God, does anybody know if this man really works here? Or am I just seeing this, right? It sounds like it's a residual haunting or this man still thinks he's working there. But it's funny that the rest of the people working there go, oh, yeah, we've heard it. But no one said, but no one looks like that works here. You know, nobody goes ahead and says that.
It seems like that is implied in this story.
It's implied, like, but it's funny that no, see, because, and then, you know, me, I'm blabby and I just would talk and stuff, but I would go, does somebody that fit that description work here, actually work here? You know, I would be asking that question of people trying to get that straight answer from somebody.
That's why I think they all just assume they're talking about a ghost, that they're not looking for an employee. They're like, because then she says, she's never heard one story that everybody agrees on.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't agree he works there. They don't agree he's a ghost. They don't agree like he carries a clipboard. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure of what parts. They just know that. But I do believe they said that the other coworkers said this, what the description was, fit the same, mostly the same description that other people had of him.
People have been seeing him.
Yeah, and it You know, I think too, just by the nature of it being this kind of weird cavernous underground cave thing, that's kind of creepy, right?
Oh my God,
That we always
yes.
talk about the stone being a conductor for spiritual energy. And I am so claustrophobic. I cannot go someplace where I can't. It's very difficult for me not to see out, like not to know there's a way out. And
Well,
that would be
that's what's
really
so
hard.
weird about the caverny things around. I don't even know what they're called in Kansas City. Like people had actually painted, like some of them are kind of just like storefronts. It's like this whole city down
So
there,
weird.
and people had painted windows with a view. Like, so it kind of looks like you are glancing out a window.
Maybe that's helpful.
I think.
It wouldn't be for me, but it might be for other people. But like, I literally have, and I know this is weird, but my other claustrophobic listeners out there, you know where I'm coming from. I have to know the exit. Like, I have to know I can get out.
Yeah, and the
I
exits
have
would
to
be
know.
difficult. The exits would be difficult.
Right? And so this ca so I'm just saying, by its nature, it's kind of a creepy place anyway.
But like
And
those.
then to have this guide that just randomly shows, and then you start walking and say, "Hey, I'm going to ask a question." Then he just kind of disappears around an aisle, and you get there, and he's not standing where he should be,
Yeah.
right? Or like, Cassandra said, at times I would go there. There wasn't enough time for him to get to this new place, and stuff like that. Because we know all those laws of physics. It's impossible. Like, wait a minute, I left you behind me. There's no way you're in front of me now.
But I get
So
why
what do you
they.
think? Residual? Like doing repetitive things over and over?
I don't know, 'cause she's seeing him, then he's disappearing, and he's not like taunting her or anything. He's just doing his
No,
own thing.
you're just doing your job over and over and over again and not paying any attention to anybody else.
But I want to know what Cassandra is doing too.
Yeah, well, there is that. I mean, there is just
'Cause I mean, I get why they keep records in a place like that.
mysterious.
But what is it
Right.
that she's doing? I'm with you. It feels more like the X-Files.
Okay, I always want to say, like the place in New Mexico, I always call it Studio 54, and I know that's wrong. I
Area 54.
always go Studio. No, that's not
Wait a
right.
minute, wait a
That's where
minute.
that was Andy Warhol. I'm like, that's not it. But yeah, wouldn't that be fun if it was that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Well,
Yeah.
let's go to one more story.
This is Chris from West Virginia. So I was going to call in for my sister who works at another Walmart. She wishes to remain anonymous, but we will call her Roberta for this one. Roberta told me that there are some instances of bread literally flying off the shelf. And of course, I flash to Ghostbusters, the librarian ghost, throwing books. Go me. She also told me that most of the incidents are centered around the bathroom in the electronics, back by the electronics section. She says that she herself has seen what she thought was one of the male managers in the ladies' room just standing by the door, and when she blinked her eyes, he was gone. She went up to the manager, "Hey, what were you doing in the ladies' room? You're a guy." He's like, "I wasn't." And he was with several coworkers, and they're like, "No, he wasn't. We all just came up the back hallway. He was nowhere near it." She said that once when she was washing her hands, she glanced up in the mirror, and she could see a woman standing there. And when she turned around to say, "Oh, hello, I'm on your way," there was no one there. She says that the handles on the doors will shake, and that the vent, they'll be shaking in the vent and everything, like the air conditioner is on, but the air conditioner is not on. She says she's not the only one who's seen this. Several other coworkers have told her about it. One lady was actually in the restroom, and as I said, whatever's there likes to jiggle the handles. But instead of jiggling her handle, it was jiggling the one next to her. And she thought, okay, maybe it's somebody, they came in with their kid and the kids are getting excited. She couldn't see any feet under the door. So she kind of, it's a good thing she was where she was, I suppose. Like I said, this was the Walmart that was built on a state hospital. You can actually go back to the back of the hospital and see the cemetery, the remains of the caretaker's house. It's actually a very beautiful area, but it's also very, very creepy. But that's all I have. Sorry I rambled. I love your show. Bye.
Haunted Walmarts. I just Googled it.
There are. We've had prior stories
about. The one
about
that we have talked about before was in Galveston. There supposedly is a haunted Walmart. It happened after the land was haunted because it was after that huge hurricane they had like in the 1920s.
Oh, yeah. That was, oh, God.
It was built on, and there was an orphanage there, and it was washed away. And in that horrific, it was like early 1900s.
Yeah.
In that horrific hurricane, I think it was like 1,200 people died. So I've heard about that, but I also just went, let me look again, haunted Walmarts. And then what popped up was Galveston is creepiest Walmart in America. Naperville, Illinois.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know if this is a legit page or not, but it says, Kansas has haunting legends, but the tale about Chanute's Walmart store.
Really?
More like a local rumor, and that's where Kathy used to live.
Yes, and, you know, it is the only game in town, really, too. So everybody has to shop at the Walmart.
It says, as the tale goes, during the construction of the store, the one in Chanute that you used to go to, a worker died in the parking lot in 1978. Allegedly, his spirit lingers and whispers in the toy aisle.
Oh, well, see, that probably answers it, because I did not spend time in the toy aisle.
Yeah, so. But I don't know. It makes me wonder, because that Walmart location sounded haunted AF. All of that stuff that happened. That was interesting.
What a horrible feeling to be washing your hands in front of a mirror, see somebody, you know, walk, or even, you know, just kind of out of the corner of your eye. Maybe you're not looking straight up, but you get a glimpse of something going past behind you. To the point you turn around to say hi, you know, like acknowledge the person. I'll get out of your way in a sec or whatever, to be that polite person, and nobody's there.
Right.
Like, you're so convinced somebody's there, you turn around to acknowledge them.
And at the Walmart bathroom, there's a lot of sinks, and that would be kind of weird. It's like, I don't know why she's standing there waiting for this one, but
yeah, why doesn't she just?
I am an employee, and I have to be kind.
Yeah.
And might even been in an employee restroom. I don't know. Yeah. I assume they have those there.
But the door jiggling, no feet.
Yeah.
All right. That's a problem, right? But it does sound like there was a situation that it was built on some land that was,
I know,
maybe had a history.
I wonder if that's the Galveston one. Or I don't know what happened.
Well, she was calling from West Virginia, but that doesn't mean it was in West Virginia. Roberta could be a Walmart in any number of places. But we have had kind of, I know you and I've talked about a Walmart before, but we've also talked about other, you know, grocery stores and other places that seem to have things happen. Breads flying off the shelf, cans move, you know, things moving. The bathrooms always seem to be kind of a place for it. So, you know, it just could be that it has something to do, in this case, with the land already.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had to clear out the land to build all these big things. So wherever it's been, wherever these places have been built, they've been built on land that has some type of history.
Because you
so maybe it's
think.
Just not that surprising that if something would carry over.
You wouldn't think Walmart's haunted, but you just never know. So if you have a real ghost story, share it with us. You know how to do it. Call it in. The number to dial on your telephone is 855-853-4802. You can go to our website and just write it down. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and become a premium subscriber if you want. You don't get commercials. You do get access to the archive and advance episodes. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.